The dwarves see you, like you've lost any element of like surprise or safety, and they're both like definitely got their eyes on you. Mm. So you won't be able to swoop in. Okay. They're aware of your presence. B, what do you want to say to the assembled crowd that's now in terror of your glowing wasp form?
Well, I'm gonna say to everyone, listen. You guys are pretty silly if you're gonna wipe out the only chance there is to turn everyone back into their normal form. Don't.
There's some like murmuring in the crowd, and someone from the crowd shouts like, "What do you mean?"
Well, she's a Medusa, obviously, and she turned everyone to stone. And now you're going to kill her. And how are we going to get everyone to turn back to the normal form?
Some other voice in the crowd is like, "We kill her, and everybody turns back to normal." And there's some like, "Yay!"
I don't think that's how it works.
Do you, while you're thinking on it, do either of you want to spout lore about this and try and remember if you know any ways to turn people back from stone? I mean, you don't know anything about Medusas, but maybe there's some other trick?
I think we both should, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, roll plus your intelligence.
One.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn.
All right. I got this. Hold on. Do I roll minus one to this as well for being?
Yeah, as long as we're in this scene, you'll have your minus one. So first of all, though, I got two failures to deal with. So I think that like your momentum, your authority is drained away by the sudden like, yeah, that's how we save, like, good idea, elf girl. We got to save everybody by killing her and draining her of her blood, and then we could use that. And like, there's all these, like, everybody's giving ideas, but they all involve murdering this poor woman. And
that's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah. And so like the one of the dwarves, like, lets go of her, and his like friend or brother or whatever grabs her, and the dwarf pulls out his like battle axe and like gets it up, and he looks like he's ready to like finish her off.
Do we see Leo coming at this point?
Yeah, so I think right when that happens, Leo comes out the back door into the alley.
And he's with Char?
No, Char is still frozen robot.
I think if I see Leo, I would probably fly to him.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rowdy.
Hey guys, what are you doing with that Medusa?
Anybody want to try and stop this guy from?
Yeah, I'm gonna stop him.
Okay, what are you gonna do?
I can't use my heritage again, can I?
No, your telekinesis is tapped out.
Well, I'm gonna yell at him. Stop.
Okay, you're kind of past at this. Like, you're past at this point. Like, yelling stop won't do anything, especially if you can't like back it up with your psychic powers. So you'll have to. You have to physically intervene.
Okay. I'm going to try and push him.
Okay. And you're fast enough to get from where you are to where he is?
Hopefully.
Okay. So I think, yeah, I don't think it's a question of you getting there. I think it's a question of overpowering him, right? Because he's going to fight back. So why don't you defy danger with your strength and tangle with this dwarf. And remember to roll. So this I think, applies to your appetites, right? Because it's like, what was yours? Glory and conquest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a pretty glorious thing. You get a whole crowd of people watching you beat up a dwarf. Nice. So roll a d6 and a d8, and then also add your mod.
How do I do that?
So I think you should be able to go slash r d6 space d8 plus the mod, and then we'll just do the math with our brain.
Plus.
And if it doesn't work, I'm sorry. Another.
My mod of...
Whatever your strength modifier is.
Oh, let's do it.
Sorry, you got
no, D8. It's not looking good.
Okay, well, so you interpose yourself between Dwarven Axe and Helpless Medusa, and you take the blow meant for her. It's very heroic, but you're going to take some damage. So Dwarven Axe, take a roll a D8, and you take that much damage. Do you have any armor? You have one, right?
Yes, one.
Okay, so roll a d8 and then subtract. Subtract armor. That's perfect. You got it.
Minus one.
Yeah. So just do you take two damage?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so he doesn't like bury it in your face or anything, but you get hurt. He tries to pull away, like as he realizes he's hitting the wrong
target. Adam, I think her roll actually didn't work.
Her D8?
The D6, D8 plus 01.
Oh,
I think she just rolled a die.
Yeah.
Oh,
way
right.
to go,
so
roll
20. Should I do it again?
No, we'll just keep that result.
Okay.
So you actually got a
Oh.
So I'll make it your choice. You can you can take the blow for her, or you can let her get hit, basically, because it's a hard choice, right?
I'll take the blow.
I figured you probably would.
Okay. It's more glorious that way.
Yeah, damn right. Okay, all right, so it's like a slow motion. You like dive in the way and like the axe cuts into you. Maybe your telekinesis like holds it back, but you get hit with the axe. And like the crowd, despite being like pretty bloodthirsty for the Medusa, they're like, whoa, hold on, we didn't mean to like do that. And they all kind of like gasp and kind of stagger back. The dwarf holding the Medusa lets go for a second and she makes a run for it. What's everybody gonna do?
Sweet.
I've already flown back to Leo because my concern was him being unfrozen, and since he's out here, he's clearly fine.
Yeah, he looks really drunk. His eyes are like kind of rolling back in his head, and he's like wobbling around a little bit.
So I think I would deduce that it's wearing off and try and find B and tell her like, "Hey, our friends are fine. Come back."
Okay. Yeah, I mean everybody knows where B is. She's the center of attention. And the dwarf that attacked you, he like drops his axe and puts his hands up like he didn't mean to. He's sorry. He starts babbling to you in Dwarven. And unless anyone chases after her, the Medusa gets away, which is maybe the optimal thing for her to do at this point.
She's totally
badly
fine.
Hurt. Okay. So the crowd, for the most part, I think disperses. The fight has been drained out of them. And do you speak Dwarven?
No.
Okay. So he's apologizing to you in Dwarven. Like you can tell that much. He looks like really upset. He keeps like pulling on your arm and trying to get you to come back with him into the bar.
Whoa, that's a bit forward.
Yeah, there's something like
a little hesitant about that.
Okay. Leo, what are you and Lizelle gonna do?
Well, now that the crowd's dying, I want to go back in to get Char, because if Haig is still frozen, I just want us to grab the satyr and get the hell out of here.
Okay. So, Char, you, while this is happening, the beholder comes back into the bar, and you can see him from your limited point of view. Your vision is sort of returning normal. You're not having, like, death visions anymore. You see this big floaty eyeball guy come in, and he's got his big eye closed. He's looking around with his little eyes, and when he sees kind of what happens, he opens his larger eye and starts kind of sweeping the room. And as his gaze falls over people that have been turned to stone, they start to sort of melt back to themselves. When he looks at you, your unintentional stone form goes away. You can revert to normal if you want.
Okay. Yeah.
So when the rest of the party returns to the bar. The beholder is kind of going person to person, like turning the back. Haig is still turned to stone. Lord Snuff is sitting on a stool. He's got his new best friend under his arm, and he looks like he's like siphoning gas out of it. And
I think if I can get everybody's attention fast enough, I say, "Char, Leo, B, let's get out of here. Come on, Mister Puff and Stuff." I can't remember his name. I'm sorry.
Lord Snuff. You don't actually know.
Puff and Snuff.
Snuffy. Little Snuffleupagus.
And I usher them out as fast as I can before Haig is
okay, so B, what are you going to do with your new best friend? Like, do you like go into the bar with him, or?
I'd be like, "All right, dude, it's cool. just spread the word about how heroic I am."
So he shakes his head and he points at his friend, and then shakes his head again and puts his hands up, and he like tugs on his beard and looks at you, and he's like shaking it, and there's these like metal rings woven into his beard, and they're like jingling, and he like points at his friend and points at you and puts his hands up like he's trying to communicate, but
Can his friend speak the language that I can speak?
If he can, he's an asshole for not translating. No, he doesn't seem to be able to. He's looking kind of ashen, and like something very bad has just happened.
Okay.
So, it's like, yeah, something bad has happened, not to him, but to his friend. Like he feels like, it's like, yeah, something bad has just happened.
All right, well, I need to get the attention of either Lysel or Leo. Maybe they can speak Dwarven, maybe?
Well, Char.
I can think of somebody that speaks Dwarven.
Char's a dwarf.
But she's still stone, isn't she?
No, she's not.
Well, I mean, as far as you know, but if you go back in the bar, you'll know that she's not.
Yeah, right. I'm no longer stoned.
I thought she was in the bar.
All right, well, then I'm going to walk back into the bar and they will inevitably follow me.
Okay. Yes, they definitely will. Okay, so Char, you, when the door opens, you see B come in. There's two dwarven men that come in with her, and you understand what this guy's babbling about. He keeps saying to her that it's like a blood debt that he needs to repay, and that, I mean, you know what that is, right? Like when dwarves are good at having swearing oaths and holding grudges, and this is the latter of the two. He has harmed her in some way, and you can see she's like wounded. He's harmed her in some way by accident, and he keeps telling her, like, it's a blood oath, like, you have to let me help you, please. And then he keeps saying, I have a witness. I can't go back to the clan and say I've shirked my oath. She looks, I don't know, how do you look, B? Are you, like, annoyed or concerned?
I feel okay. Like, I am a little injured, but I know that I'll be fine. I've got some more elvish candy with me, and... like my wounds will heal pretty fast, so I'm not too annoyed.
Okay, Char, what are you gonna do when these dwarves come back in?
Well, I go over to B and I say, B, first of all, are you okay?
I'm good.
Are you good? Okay. I noticed that these dwarves are following you, and you know, dwarves are very passionate people and are easily offended, but because of that we are aware of offending other people, and they just want to pay you back. That's all. You don't have to be freaked out.
So the dwarf, when he sees the two of you talking, he gets that he can use you to translate. And Char, in Dwarven, he says to you, and I assume you speak Dwarven.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to assume. It's a different dialect, but you know, they're of similar stock. He says to you, he's like, oh, thank the stone, someone who understands me. Please tell her.
So what's your name, sir?
He says, I'm called Frog.
Frog. Yeah. Well, Frog, I'm not really sure what went down, because I've been unfortunately turned to stone this whole time. So is there a problem here?
He says, yes, your friend is disrespecting me. I outside there was a misunderstanding with the Medusa. I was merely trying to save these poor people from being turned to stone, and when I attacked her, your friend got in the way and she was hurt, and I've done her a grave disservice, and I merely wish to make it right. She won't let me. And he's talking like it's her fault. Like he hit her with an axe, but she's the one that's in the wrong here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, Frog. Well, I get you. I know where you're coming from, and I'll talk to her. Okay, buddy?
Kind of gives you the, like, you better.
I got this, Frog. It's all right. Okay. And I go over to B, and I say, B, he really just wants to pay you back for what he did. It's a moral code for us. And if you don't let him do something for you, he's going to be really upset. So maybe just... I guess I'll talk to him and ask him what he wants to do for you. Maybe.
Well, I have a suggestion
or something. Okay.
He can go through the trouble of finding out the directions of how to get home.
Brilliant. Okay. So we're all just like standing right together,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Hague hasn't been de-stoned by the Beholder yet. You can kind of like the Beholder's making the rounds. Yeah. He's gonna apply everybody one at a time.
Okay, I'm definitely.
Wait,
like,
when did Hague get stoned?
Medusa
right
stoned
at the beginning.
Him.
Yeah, when the Medusa did her.
So
like,
I'm right.
I had a chat with him though.
No, you were talking to.
You're right. Never mind.
Fuzzy pants.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting my guys confused.
Fuzzy stuff. <and stuff>. I'm definitely running around going, come on guys, let's go.
Yeah, let's get our shit
I
want to
get out of here before
Let's
Hague.
Fuck off while Hague is still stoned. Yeah.
I don't. I want to avoid that. I'm fine with you guys negotiating, but like, I'm hurting everyone towards the door as best I can, flying around them.
Frog keeps looking at Char at you like, your friends are speaking a language I don't understand. This is really rude.
So I say, hey, Frog, I have a proposition for you. How would you like to come with us and pay your debt back that way? I have to warn you, we're in kind of a lot of trouble, but we need to get out of here right now. And if you want to pay B back, we got to go.
He nods. He says, yes, one district. That's as far as I'll go. I think that's fair. He looks at his friend. His friend nods like, yeah, that's a pretty fair trade. And he looks at you like, that sound good? Get you out of the district?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, he says, where are you trying to go?
Do we know where we are yet?
No, no one's asked.
Where are we?
He looks at you kind of like, oh, you haven't been in the city very long, have you?
No.
He says, this parish, they call it Barrow Watch.
Look, I can move it out of the map.
Okay.
I was going to say, make somewhere. It appear.
Bang. Ooh. It's where Ditchwater used to be.
Okay.
He says, yeah, Barrow Watch. Not a very good place, but we were just passing through. Where are you going?
The next one over. We're trying to get back to Ditchwater, but we've lost our entrance.
Okay, he kind of looks at you like and scratches his head. He's like, Ditchwater? Never heard of it. I can take you as far as the drainage.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Has anybody ever been to the drainage before?
Yeah, I think the drainage is probably where I was thrown. Me and my brothers were like left.
So,
the drainage is what I think it is.
Well, it's got drains. Why don't you spell lore about the drainage for us, and I can tell you a little bit about it.
Is intel?
Yes, please.
Do I solve the minus one for being stoned?
Yes.
Six.
Okay. The drainage, mark experience. The drainage is a parish that was taken wholesale from another plane that was being destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like the last fragment of that plane. And the reason the drainage wasn't fully consumed by the city is that it's poisonous. The city can't eat it. So there's like a perfect circular barrier to it where the city just kind of stops and drainage starts.
Hmm.
It's called drainage because the ground is made up of like rusted metal grating. And in the center of the parish is a massive temple to a god called Sanguinus. He's like a minor blood god. And the temple is essentially like a big blood fountain, and it all drains down into the rest of the parish. So it's gross and kind of scary to be there.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's apparently, according to these dwarves, it's adjacent to Barrow Watch. But it's in the right direction, theoretically. It's away from here, at least.
All right.
Okay.
I don't think we really have any other options.
Okay. So you'll take the dwarves as guides?
Yeah.
Okay.
Along with Snuff and keeping lookout for those weird road guards.
Okay, so you leave Haig behind, and there's actually a group move you guys can all make together for representing kind of montaging a dangerous journey. So the journey between Barrow Watch and the drainage is not dangerous in a like you're crossing fields of lava kind of way, but it's dangerous in that you want to stay hidden and you know you have enemies out there, enemies both known and unknown. That strange undead woman is still around somewhere. So on the second page of the basic moves, there's special moves. And I'm going to get you guys to do the Undertake a Perilous Journey move. So in this case, you're going to be traveling through hostile territory. You need to choose one member of the party to act as trailblazer, one to scout ahead, and one to be the quartermaster. The quartermaster in this case, instead of spending rations, will spend gold. For bribing like guards to look the other way, that kind of thing.
I think
so it's all rolling plus wisdom. So if you want to just go at it mechanically, you pick the people with the best wisdom.
Oh, okay.
The quartermaster will make it cheaper to make the journey. The trailblazer will make it faster. And the scout will spot trouble quick enough that you get the drop on it rather than vice versa.
And they're all wisdom?
Yeah, and you need three different people to do it.
I suggest I do not take any rolls.
My wisdom's the highest for me. So the three.
Same.
Oh, if Leo can't do it, then
yeah. Yeah, my wisdom's 8.
I got a 9.
All right.
Which one are you doing?
Plus 1, so it's not too bad.
I was going to suggest for myself to scout since I have wings.
So. All right, you're the scout.
Straightest.
Okay, so you still need a quartermaster, and you need a trailblazer.
So Sharon,
what's the trailblazer?
So for a trailblazer, you reduce the amount of time it takes.
Okay.
And how do we know if we have gold to bribe with?
You will look on your character sheet. If you don't have any gold or you're unwilling to spend gold, it's basically don't bother rolling for quartermaster. You'll just fail.
Okay. I don't think I have any money.
Yeah. I mean, I know one member of the party has some gold.
I know I have rations.
Yeah. That will be useful for later when you need to eat. But right now, I think it's going to cost you, the base cost is 8 gold. If you roll well on your quartermaster roll, it'll be less. You can reduce it. But if no one wants to spend 8 gold, or risk 8 gold, I guess, you'll just fail that roll and I'll get to make a move.
I don't have any gold.
Leo, do you have any gold?
Maybe. What do you need some money for?
You be our quartermaster.
You really don't want me to be your quartermaster. I'm not.
It can be his gold, but someone else's role. If you
okay.
If he just wants to be the bank. Are you willing to risk 8 gold on this journey?
How confident are you that you're going to make this roll?
Well, wisdom is my highest.
All right, and in the event that I end up having to pay this 8 gold, what do I get out of it?
I'll share with you my rations.
Done.
Okay, cool.
Easy game.
Okay, so quartermaster, why don't you roll?
Am I rolling my wisdom?
Yes. Okay, so it costs the normal amount. So it costs that 8 gold. So, Leo, you can mark that gold off your sheet.
Down to 16.
Okay, no. And then who, Char, 14. I guess that leaves you to blaze the trail.
All right. The little guy. Yep.
That worm?
Yep. Okay, 2d6 plus wisdom?
Yep. All right. So it takes as long as you expect. It doesn't take any longer, but you don't get there any faster. So it takes pretty much, and again, it's hard to judge like day and night around here, but it takes the better part of a day to navigate your way through Barrel Watch. It's all uphill. And by the time you guys get to the edge of the drainage, you're starting to feel the effects of being on your feet and being in stressful situations all day. Your stomachs are grumbling. Leo, you didn't get that pizza you wanted. So you'll probably, like, if you want to keep pushing yourselves, you can, but it would be safer and smarter to find somewhere to, like, hide out and eat. When you get to the edge of the drainage, all of the districts, like I described before, like, all the parishes around the drainage kind of end on a hill, and the drainage is at the bottom. It's like a crater, essentially. I always have to do conversions in my head because my natural instinct is to describe things in how far they are away in kilometers. And they're like, nobody knows how far that is.
Yes.
There you go. It's maybe 10 miles across from where you're standing. It's not huge, but it's not like tiny either. So it's a circle with a diameter of about 10 miles. Big crater. At the bottom, it's just like no one lives here. It's just flat steel grating. And then in the middle, there's a probably 10 or 15 story like tower, a big white tower. And from various places on the tower, pipes are spouting blood into the air. And then they land in the grating and then seep down underneath. The whole place smells like copper, like metal. There's this like heavy metal smell in the air. And you can hear, even from here, you can hear like flies buzzing around the entrance to this building. You get to the edge of it, and Frog turns to Char and says, he's like untangling one of the rings from his beard.
Hello?
He says to you, tell her the debt is sealed, and he be a ring to you.
He says what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he cut out for a moment.
Oh. he takes the iron ring out of his beard, holds it out to B, and then says to you, tell her that the debt is paid, essentially. There's a lot more like significance when he says it in Dwarven. It's not just a debt. It's like, yeah, but he's holding the ring out to you, like as a symbol that he's like done.
Okay. I'm going to take it and put it on my finger.
Okay. You can mark on your inventory like Dwarven Oath Ring. It's marked with runes. It looks pretty old. It's got beard oil on it.
Sick.
Probably only fits on your thumb.
I say, Frog, have you been here before? Is it remotely safe here? Where are we? This looks crazy, man.
He looks at you, and he looks at the weird, like, ivory fang thing sticking out of the ground, and he says, he's like, well, I'll say this. The city chewed it up and spat it back out. Takes his head. This place? I wouldn't stay here if I were you. And so that's a good place, I think, before you guys go into the drainage, a good place to take a break.
Did we want to end?
Yeah, let's go through a quick application of the end of session move. So normally what happens at the end of a full session, we will go through our bonds and revisit them, see if they're still true. We'll do a couple of things with experience. So everybody look at your bonds. Take a look and get familiar with them again. If you feel like any of those bonds have been completely explored, like you're not interested in them anymore, you kind of have played out what they say, if they're not relevant anymore, if they said one thing and you don't believe that anymore, or otherwise you just want to have a new one with that person, you can tell us, ask the player of the character you have the current bond with, and if they agree that it's resolved, then mark experience and we'll talk about writing a new bond. So does anyone have any they think are resolved?
I don't think I do.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Cool.
Well, I think maybe my first bond were...
Yeah. What was yours?
Lyzelle has been to my homeland more recently than I have.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We confirmed that in one of the intros. I remember that.
Okay, so this one, it's one of those ones that it's not resolved in a way that there's like a particular thing you need to do about it, but if that's something that your character doesn't really think about anymore, then you can mark that bond off. Is that, Char, is that something that is interesting to you? Do you want to like try and keep that as part of play, or are you okay to let it go?
I think I can let that go.
Okay. So before I tell you what to do next, Leo, do you have any?
No.
Okay. Sure. And Char, do you have any? You guys want to keep yours?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. So B, you can like cross it off, draw a line through your bond or make a note that it's resolved. Add 1 point of experience to your total. And you can write a new bond with any other character in the party. Generally, bonds, when you update them, they're about stuff that have happened in play.
Yeah.
So you look back at what you've experienced with these characters so far, and you can write a new bond about them. And we'll give you the break to think about it, but it could be something like, you know, you thought something about Char before, but now you think something totally different about her. You think maybe she's unstable, or maybe her knowledge of culture has helped you in some way. Like, so you think about how you want your new bond to be. You can write it. It can be with her or with another player, and then that'll add back to your bond, so you'll have the same amount. Okay. Now, everybody look at your alignment, please. It should be a thing that, like an actionable thing. Have they fulfilled their alignment? Have you done the thing that your alignment says?
Ooh, I think I did.
Nope. Yeah, what was yours?
Yeah. It says, endanger yourself to combat an unnatural threat.
Definitely.
So would a Gorgon be unnatural?
Maybe to you, yeah. I mean, that's your call, right? I mean, if you asked the Gorgon and her friends, probably not. But to you, would you consider her an unnatural threat? That one's totally on you in this kind of setting.
I think I would. I don't know what she was, so.
Perfect. Yeah. I think that might not apply if you fight another Gorgon, but yeah.
Yeah,
Okay. So mark experience. Normally in a longer term game, and we won't do this for this one, but normally in a longer term game, what you would have the opportunity to do now is choose a different alignment instead of marking experience. You could either choose another one from your character sheet, or you could write your own. So this is how characters like the Paladin, who only can be lawful or neutral to begin with, can become chaotic or evil. Cool. So during play, they fulfill their alignment and then choose to ignore the XP. They can say, yes, I acted good in a good fashion, but I don't care about that. I've changed my mind about who I want to be. So that's a way you can change it. Yeah, you reject your alignment, essentially. Anybody else on their alignment? No? Okay. And then last, as a group, we answer three questions. So if we can all agree yes to any of these questions, each one will get us an XP. So did we learn something new and important about the world?
Yes.
Pretty impossible not to say yes to on the first session.
Yeah.
So everybody mark experience.
Woohoo!
Okay.
I got one.
Did we overcome a notable monster or enemy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, what was the notable monster or enemy?
Medusa.
Hag. Medusa.
Medusa and Hag.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the reason I ask is because the Medusa would be as valid an answer as the anger of a mob or racist aggression. Those are that's a notable enemy, right? That was a problem you had to overcome.
Yeah,
sure. And then lastly, did as a group or individually, did you loot a memorable treasure?
I did.
Yeah?
I got a ring.
Yeah, so you have the Dwarven Oath ring. I think that qualifies. Right. Okay, so everybody gets that experience as well. So you guys got three for each one. Does anybody have 8 experience?
I have 7.
So close.
6.
I got 7.
Cool. So what will happen is once you have 8 experience, once you've got 8, the next time that you have downtime, so you have like a couple hours to rest or you sleep overnight, you'll be able to level up. So we can talk about how that happens when we come to it.
Sounds good.
Cool. So let's take a little break. B, think about your new bond that you want to do, and then we'll pick up in the edges of the drainage.
Ooh.
Okay. See you guys in a moment.